Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before him on the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Amen. Today is, in fact, the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, we begin a new church year, and I thought it would be interesting if we just reviewed the liturgical colors. And so we begin with Advent. Advent is blue, and when we think of Advent, we think of a symbol of candles. And then we think of Christmas as the season that comes next. Christmas is white. The liturgical color, we think of the manger, we think of stars, we think of the magi as symbols of Christmas. And then comes Epiphany, and Epiphany is green. Green is for growth, and that meant that the word of God was spread to the Gentiles. And when we think of Epiphany, we think of light. And then comes Lent. The color of Lent is purple. We think of penitence, we think of confession, we think of a time for preparation for Easter, and the color again returns to white. When we think of Easter, we think of that open tomb. We think of Christ risen. We think of him risen. And then comes the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is red. Red symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes the flame of that Holy Spirit. And the symbol we think of would be tongues of fire. And then we come to the season of Pentecost. Pentecost runs from roughly April or May all the way through November. And so up until now, the color has been green. Green stands for the growth of the church, of the ancient church throughout the world. And then we come to a season that has two colors. And you may think, gee, I don't ever remember there being two colors on the altar. Well, there are. You see, there is yellow for ducks and orange for beavers. And the church uses a lot of symbolism. As I said, when we think of Advent, we think of candles. When we think of Christmas, we think of that manger or maybe the star. When we think of Easter, we do visualize that the symbol of that empty tomb. And when we think of Pentecost, we think of those little tongues of fire that appeared over the apostles on that day of Pentecost. So what symbolism might we use for today? Today is the last day, or last Sunday in the church year. What symbolism might we use? Well, we might use an acknowledgement of the change from one gospel reading to the other. Most of you are probably aware that we have A, B, and C years. A, the gospels come from Matthew. B, the gospels come from Mark. And C, the gospel comes from Luke. And so we could process in with one gospel and process out with the other. This coming year will be a C year, and that will be take its readings from the Gospel of Luke. We could also have, as a symbol for today, a procession into the church as a symbol of processing into heaven. We might want to use a trumpet that would signify the coming, the return of Jesus. That sound that you heard was a shofar. And that would be a symbol, perhaps that's the sound that we will hear on that last day when Jesus comes to us back in the clouds. During the church year, we go through most of the Bible. We hear about the creation. We hear about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We hear about the sojourn in Egypt. We hear about the Exodus. We hear about the time when the people finally went into the promised land. They got judges, then they asked for kings, and then came the prophets. And then we hear about the diaspora and the exile of Judea. In the New Testament, we hear about Jesus' birth, and we hear about the church the early church through approximately year 100 AD. But this is more than just the last Sunday of the church year. It's called Christ the King Sunday. It's the day when we celebrate Christ taking that throne, as we read about in the readings from Daniel today. As we think about that, the gospel might somehow seem like it's out of place. In fact, it is the explanation of Jesus saying that he is indeed a king. You'll remember that Pilate had asked Jesus, what was he, the king of the Jews? The Jews had been accusing him of all kinds of things, trying to get him arrested. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, no, my kingdom is not of this world. But indeed, he is the king of another world. And that would be, he is the king of heaven. The Old Testament reading does a really good symbolic job of explaining this day that we celebrate, that we look forward to. It's like telling a story with pictures. Pictures, they say, are worth a thousand words. And so there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of pictures that we get as we read those texts from Daniel. Daniel writes, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were a burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came from out before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Behold, with the clouds of heaven there came like one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and images should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. The Ancient of Days that is mentioned there is God himself. And when Daniel describes him as the hair of his head as pure wool, that symbolizes great wisdom that comes with great age. And a throne of fiery flames that has wheels that are on fire, and fire that issued from out before him, symbolizes a God who has fearsome power to destroy his enemies. And 1,000,000 who served him would probably mean the angels in heaven. And the 10,000 times 10,000 who stood before him would be all the people of all nations of all time who were to be judged. This scene depicts a judge who has great wisdom, someone who has the purity to separate right from wrong, and the power to enforce those judgments. That court sits in judgment. It says, and the books were open. In today's terminology, we would hear someone say, this court is now in session, the honorable God, the Father Almighty, presiding. And then behold, coming with the clouds comes this Son of Man. The Son of Man is a term that Jesus used to refer to himself on a lot of occasions. He used it to describe himself as a human, the son of humans. But when that Son of Man comes in the clouds, then that shows his divinity. And we know that Jesus was indeed both God and with man, and man, and that fulfills both of those meanings. And Daniel goes on, and to him, to Jesus, was given dominion. Dominion is a ruling power and authority, a control and over things, and with that control came glory, and with that came a kingdom that all peoples and all nations and languages should serve him. His dominion, this authority that he's given, is everlasting, and it will never be destroyed. It shall not pass away. That's the description of a day that we wait for, a day that we look for with great joy. In the meantime, we must persevere. The problem is that we tend to put our faith not in that kingdom that we look forward to, but things of this world. Those things get in our way. The world tempts us and promises us that we will have earthly fame or wealth or many earthly pleasures. We seek after those pleasures in ways that are not good. We seek pleasures and things that are temporary in this world and will not last. We put our faith in our jobs, but jobs can be lost. We put our faith in our retirement investments and our money, but an economic collapse can make those all go away shortly. We put our faith in ourselves, in our own physical strength, in our own mental abilities, but our health can be taken away in an instant. We put our faith in our technology, but shut off the electricity and our technology is worthless. We put our faith in this powerful country that we so love, and yet we must realize that even the great Roman Empire collapsed at some point. In all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is quoted as saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." The kingdom over which Jesus presides will not pass away. Now that's something that you can put your faith in. That's something to which you can invest your time and your talents. It's a kingdom that you can work for a lifetime. It's a kingdom that you can place your trust because that kingdom will last forever. Because in that kingdom, when it comes, all inequities will be made equal. All evil will be destroyed. All the pain that we suffer will be taken away. And all the sorrow that we suffer now will be turned into joy. It's a time when our tears will be dried and there will be smiles all around. God's kingdom began when Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus has won the war. The armistice has just not been signed. Jesus has won the election. We just haven't inaugurated him yet. Jesus has won the championship game many times over, and yet he is not inducted into the Hall of Fame. So today we celebrate that victory that Jesus accomplished over death and over Satan. We also celebrate his coming in the clouds. We celebrate his coronation as King, the King of Heaven. When Lazarus died, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever follows me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Today we celebrate that statement coming true because while it has not yet happened, we have that hope, that confident expectation that Christ will indeed come again and that we will live in eternity with him forever. Amen.